We are New Monster, and this is SciFighters. I'm Nathan.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Redshirt Lucas.
And I'm Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi.
And tonight we're talking about RoboCop.
RoboCop, yeah. Androids. Love it.
Yeah, gotta love it. RoboCop coming out on February 13th?
12th.
12th. God.
It's okay.
Let's start over.
What? Nah, it's all right, because... but that's so close to Valentine's Day. Weird.
And it's a Wednesday.
Oh, is it? I didn't know it was a Wednesday.
Yeah, the 12th is a Wednesday.
That's kind of strange.
It is really weird.
This is Nathan.
You don't like that it's on a Wednesday?
Nathan's beating himself up because he said the wrong day. He's like, no, restart everything. I said the wrong day. No one cares.
I'm bad at things.
No, you're not. You're a good boy. You're a good boy, and that's why we like you. But, seriously, guys, RoboCop, how do we feel about this remake?
Is it a remake or a reimagining?
I think we've already been there.
Oh, it's a reimagining.
Yeah, it is definitely a reimagining.
Yeah, because a remake would imply many things about this movie that it does not have.
Nathan, you seemed upset about it.
I am not excited about it. If it was a remake, I would be much more excited.
Like a shot for shot?
Not so much a shot for shot, but
shot
keeping
shot,
the same...
bullets?
Yes. Keeping the same... the same tone, the same feel of what RoboCop actually is.
Well, I want you to continue your thought, but I want to jump right there and say the whole movie had the feel of the 80s. You know what I'm saying? And there is no way to go back 30 years and say, do over, let's make movies like we did, because you wouldn't try to make movies like they did in the 80s like they did in the 50s. Because it would look like it wouldn't be right. It just wouldn't. It wouldn't look right. It wouldn't sound right. You need now to be now. And if you have an idea or an ideal now that you want to use that has been used before, it's going to be different regardless. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Less cocaine, more bath salts, right? In this one.
Well, I'm thinking that's correct. I'm thinking like what Nathan's talking about.
That's exactly what's happening.
Okay, good.
Like what Nathan's talking about, though, is more along the lines of like, why call it RoboCop? Why not just... he feels maybe that it's so different that why not just give it a different name?
Robot Cop.
Yes. No, my problem is, of course, they need to update things. Of course, the graphics, the visuals, it's going to have a different feel because it... Yeah, it's not being made in the 80s. Movies, oddly enough, are less gritty now than they used to be. But it doesn't have that same oomph to it, at least from the trailers that I've seen. Obviously, haven't seen it yet.
Too polished? Too sexy?
Too tame.
Too tame. Well, yeah. I mean...
obviously. But
yeah, the first one have a lot of squibs in it, if you know what I mean. And Adam, what's a squib?
I refuse to answer that question.
It's not one of those things that lives under the ocean.
No, it's not what you're thinking. A squib is what you put underneath the clothes to make it look like a gunshot. That's what shoots the fake blood out of the bodies. And RoboCop had, in the 80s, it had a whole lot of squibs going off. There were gallons of blood in this movie.
Well, and I'm not even talking about the blood grit. I'm just talking about the that actual... I don't know, it feels to me like it had more of a reaction to it. Like, the first time that I saw it, honestly, I don't remember the first time that I saw it, but I have such a tie to it that, for me, there's much more of a personal connection. Kind of like last time we were talking about Back to the Future for Adam.
Mm-hmm. Wait, no. Okay, this is where I have to stop you before you go on, because this is what bugs me about this logic. You can't go back to when you were younger... you can't go back into the 80s. You can't go back when you weren't paying bills and your parents were coddling you and things like that. Not the same as now, but I mean back then.
If that was the case, I would never be able to see this movie. That's the story that I have about RoboCop.
We're going to keep sending you out to the bathroom every time a violent scene comes up.
Yeah, it's, I remember my parents watching it and they were like, you probably shouldn't watch this. I'm like, is the whole movie bad? Well, no, I mean, there's a few scenes and I think I got to go out for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And watch 3 minutes of the movie, and then they would be like, they'd like go to your room for this part, and they would just like anticipate when the bad scenes would be.
Uh-huh.
The, mean, quote, bad scenes.
And by bad, you mean 80s awesome.
I mean, like, any scene where someone was getting shot, which was, like, the entire movie.
Every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So the entire scene of how he actually becomes RoboCop, yes. You never saw that.
I was sent to my room.
Boo!
No, I've seen it since, obviously.
I hope so.
But, yeah, that my memory, when someone brings up RoboCop, that's initially what I think of is how I originally saw RoboCop.
that's I mean, bravo to your parents, because it's a really heavy movie, man. But it's got a fantastic message, which seems to be what the reimagining is lacking. But it does have a message for now.
It has a message, but it has a different message. And for me, that's the message where it causes the problem. Like, for me, the original RoboCop, there was hardly any humanity left. And so you got to see over the course of the movie how he was kind of regaining his humanity, how that soul was reemerging. And so when he finally, it's 25 years old now, everyone should have seen it, but when he finally takes off that helmet, like that...
Spoilers. We're going to spoil RoboCop from the 80s.
Like I said, it's been 25 years. You should have seen it by now. So when he finally takes off his helmet and that conversation that he has with his partner, like that to me is what kind of brings back his humanity. Mm-hmm. Whereas watching the trailers for this one, for me, he starts out too human. And that takes away that, for me, was that essential struggle throughout the movie.
I think my point is, I feel like they can still, it's still relevant, though. It's a different story, it's a different struggle, but it's still a relevant struggle. And I actually really like where they're going with this, in that I'm seeing... It's taking that idea of man versus machine. Like, at what point do machines take over?
Right.
Those kinds of things. It's a theme that's all through science fiction. I mean, everyone knows I'm a huge Doctor Who fan.
It's
but,
one of our favorite themes, I would say.
But the Cybermen. It's the theme of the Cybermen in Doctor Who. It's the theme...
Everyone take a drink. Doctor Who has mentioned, take a drink.
To some extent...
We would never make it through this podcast.
to some extent, the Daleks in that. But you've also got things like Deathlok in Marvel Comics, which is a very similar character to where they took RoboCop. And he actually predates RoboCop into the 70s. You've got that same idea, to some extent, Terminator, where it's that the machines versus humanity in a different way.
Right.
It's not an internal struggle like RoboCop is. It's an external struggle, but it's the same struggle, just from a different perspective.
Yes.
So it's something that is all through science fiction, I think. And I think maybe you're going to see it. And maybe it is a little more cliche than the original, quote, struggle.
It's not a stereotype if it's true, right, guys?
but it's, I mean, I still think it's going to be, I don't know, there's something about it that I'm really intrigued about.
Wait, but in the first one, how does his, so your soul comes back through your face?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That is all you need. You just need a face to have a soul.
In the first one, they saved his arm, and his left leg, and his face. How did his face even survive being shotgunned?
The face did not get shot with a shotgun. It was just a pistol.
Oh, pardon me.
So little hole, big hole out the back. Yeah.
It's a great scene. That's a squib, kids.
Also, they started out with his arm, and they took it away. Like, yeah, he says that view.
Yeah, he says, we saved his left arm, his left leg, and he goes, get rid of it. Like, what?
Okay. Yeah, because that was actually a big deal, because they wanted to keep the arm. Or his partner, wasn't it? Wanted to keep the arm or the doctor.
Why?
I don't know, but just to keep some part of human.
To keep him more human.
Oh, to keep it on him, not like keep it in a jar.
Yeah, no.
Like,
yeah.
Not like keep it.
This is souvenir type thing.
It was not pickled cop.
It's like, how about his penis?
It's still good. I forgot to ask.
Ashley's the one that went there.
But it, you know, it comes... It comes up. I was trying to get around that sentence. I was trying to get around it. I went face first in. Here we go. I'm not helping things.
Yeah, let's.
I'm not helping. Let's move it on. Oh, I'm going to go pray.
You need to.
All right.
Okay.
So, no, sorry, go ahead.
So I don't know if I should be ashamed to admit this or not, but I saw RoboCop for the first time last week.
You're a terrible nerd.
Yes. So I was also a very sheltered child. Therefore, that kind of violence would have been extreme still to this day.
Oh, it's still extreme.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, see, I'm not sure which is more sheltered, not being allowed to watch it or being allowed to watch like 3 minutes of
That's just a bloodlust tease you got.
They can psychologically torture you, just not let you actually see
it. Right.
And see, that's what's right with you. Sorry.
From that, having no emotional attachment to the old RoboCop other than he looked cool when I was, you know, like 7 years old, I'm actually really looking forward to this movie because I think that for today it has a more relevant struggle of what movies are trying to capture, like a kind of a redefining of, like, the person is still there, but how do I function? How do I find my purpose now that my original purpose seems to have been erased because I am no longer what I was? And I think that they are trying to turn it more inward on the person and less about like the criticism on society and what would happen if you took this horrible society and brought this soulless person into it. Like, how would that interact? It seems like it's more about the character and less about the overall world, if that makes sense.
And I think that's a valid point, is that this one is very much a commentary on society.
The first one was such a commentary on society.
Right. But this is going to be, I think, a product of its time, just like the 80s one was a product of its time.
Here's my problem. Here's one of my problems, or one of my fears, I should say. Because, again, haven't seen it.
So. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
Don't be afraid.
Here's one of my fears of of the remake.
Reimagining.
Thank you. Here's one of my fears of the reimagining is... I would be fine with it if it was any other movie. Like, it would look like an awesome movie.
Like Tremors?
Yes, like Tremors. No, it would be fine if it was just some movie about, yeah, this guy that was half man, half machine, and where does he find his humanity? Where does he find this part that's being controlled by this computer? I would be perfectly fine with all of that. It's the fact that it's RoboCop, and for me, part of what made RoboCop stand out from the rest of, again, that theme that runs through science fiction is the fact that he wasn't really human. And so really had to regain his humanity rather than that struggle of what is human, what is machine.
Through his face.
Through
the bolted-on face.
So it's almost like they have the name just to capitalize on the franchise because it's clearly not anywhere near the original.
That's my perspective, but...
RoboCop's already a franchise. You've got a... You've got... it had three movies originally. It had a TV series, and it had a number of TV movies made also.
And our favorite cartoon.
And a cartoon, right. So
it's ridiculous.
There were
all
of these...
bad cartoons.
To RoboCop, where the story
wasn't
got
that
to
voiced by Billy Crystal.
So the story did get to go a little further in that franchise, and it seems like they're capitalizing on kind of a longer game story for this one movie.
Right.
Maybe they're taking elements of kind of that worked its way over a course of several movies.
Like they're building a new franchise? Is that kind of what you're
saying? Well, they're obviously built. I mean, if this movie goes well, I guarantee you there'll be
sequels to it.
If G.I.
Joe made it to a second one, I'm sure RoboCop will.
Watch your mouth.
The second one was much better.
Okay, all right.
Well, I can see what Nathan's saying. I have to turn this way. But
I have to look away from me.
I can see what Nathan is saying because it feels like a lot of the movies that are coming out lately have the same style. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they're just schlepping it out like it's one of those other movies.
I think there's one editor in Hollywood. That's what it
yeah. And graphics department that does all the same
It's just
movies.
The same one over and over again.
But that's why, because RoboCop originally was almost like this B movie that was not supposed to really make it.
Yeah.
So was Star Wars.
But they're making this movie just a big blockbuster in February come out and... Sorry, Nathan, I can't look at you, but...
It's a wonderful romantic movie coming out around Valentine's Day.
You know, it feels like they're just kind of, throwing it out there.
Rachel McAdams is one of those RoboCop.
Just the voice.
Billy Crystal's co-starring the Muppets.
Owen Wilson is Boddicker.
So that is the unfortunate problem, I feel like, with the movie coming out, or the reimagining coming back out in this way. Mm-hmm. I still think it looks fun. And that's why disregarding the whole franchise before it, I think, is important to just kind of, especially now that we've talked about reimaginings and remakes, it's really hard to let go of like that first original thought and idea. Mm-hmm. So now it's just kind of letting go and let God.
But it was
let go and let Robo.
Yeah, there you go. The other
Christ.
Wait,
say that again.
It really is the other Christ.
Let go and let Robo.
Right, because the internet is the Antichrist. Yeah, wait, and this new RoboCop, is he Wi-Fi? I would hope so, because Bluetooth.
He's actually plugged in. He has a Cat 5 cable just plugged into his heel.
He's always really schlepping long. It, like, just pulling it. It's always in the way. Like, there's a really hilarious Buster Keaton-like scene where he keeps tripping over it and dropping his helmet and kicking his helmet away and trying to pull the cord. So it's great.
So will there be a scene where he's in a Starbucks and he has to plug in or something?
Yeah, like, yeah. And he just looks at the camera at all the hipster kids in their pork pie hats, like, writing their thesis and writing their screenplays, like, sipping little cups of coffee, and he just kind of looks at the camera and goes, "Oy vey."
So it is Billy Crystal.
It's Billy Crystal. You were right. It's voiced by Billy Crystal. I agree with what everyone is saying. The first RoboCop movie dealt with many, many, many issues that have been dealt with throughout hundreds of years. It's literally a timeless movie in concept, dealing with, can humanity come through our growing lives? Like, can it come through technology in any way? And technology started way back, from the wheel to fire to everything else. I mean, were they afraid of losing their technology then? You know, possibly, because anytime something new comes up, a lot of people become afraid of it. You know what I mean? And change is a big, scary thing. Peter Weller has a whole lot to say on this subject. I suggest anyone going to YouTube, looking up the Ain't It Cool News Peter Weller talk on this whole thing. He goes deep, way deeper than we can even touch on. And he talks about how kind of the timeless ideas that they have. Looking at the trailer for the new RoboCop, he doesn't have to gain his humanity that we talked about. He already has his humanity. He's like, I'm half human, half robot, essentially. Like, he's like, I know my family. There's a quintessential line in the original RoboCop, where he says towards the end, whenever he is feeling his soul, his humanity coming up through his face, where they're asking him if he knows his family, and he says, I don't know them, but I can feel them. And that's heavy. That is so heavy. This RoboCop, they're like, do you know your family? And he's like, yeah, I just have robot arms and legs. Of course I know my family. I just can't hug him because I'll crush him, is what it looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in the trailers, one of the first things he says when they wake him up is, where are my wife and kids? Or where's my wife and kids?
I really thought it was delete my browser history. That should have been the first thing he said coming out of that coma.
So that's what he uses that visor for. Okay.
But it's his Google Glass. I think we all know that. Well, I mean, in serious terms, though, we are talking about this new RoboCop and how it's associated with today. It may not be as timeless, and it may be more fitting for now, but it literally is. Are we too consumed with our technology to be human? In this movie, is he going to forget his humanity by using so much technology all the time?
And you're talking about the current one.
The current one, that he forgets to be human? Is that what's happening here? I don't know. I mean, we're not spoiling anything for the movie because we haven't seen the reimagining or remake. You can say remake. We say reimagining. Just listen to the other podcast. You'll figure it out. But
we went through this.
But that seems to be, I think, where we're all going with what we're saying is that.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of confused where they're going with the movie somewhat. I know I kind of justified what I thought they were doing with it earlier, but they're also talking about he's ignoring, like in the trailer, they say something like he's ignoring his objectives. But yet when he comes alive, it's like he already knows who he is, too. So then I'm trying to figure out, what exactly is he like? Is he human? Is he robot? Is it kind of like there are certain keywords that somebody says and he goes into this weird like programming phase and goes off and does stuff? Like, what is he? And that I think is not very well defined in the trailer. And I don't know if that will come alive, but it's weird. I don't know how to think of RoboCop now.
Like, how much is
that's a good
how
point.
Did he keep his brain and they put software in him? Because the original one, he's all software.
Yeah, exactly.
All software.
Yeah, there's no question what he is when he's first made in the original.
It sounds as if they can turn that on and off as they need it, the people that are controlling him.
Like I do when my wife is talking.
And that makes it actually... I think it's more in-depth.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and that's a really good point, though. Something about RoboCop in the classic RoboCop as well as this one is the idea of the evil corporation. The corporation being... And the corporation being more... the conglomerate, the... You know, those kinds of things.
It's really heavy these days.
And it's really...
But all the time, really.
Yeah, but I mean, that's something that's really in that dystopian future and
right.
and all that.
You can't have good sci-fi without this.
Right, but the idea that he's a... this corporation has created him, and they just always... The idea of the corporation just kind of gives me the eebie-jeebies, you know? Thinking about it.
I love that band.
In terms of...
Are they opening for the Strokes this weekend?
Well, they're all dead from heroin overdoses, but...
In terms of... in terms of the way it's portrayed in RoboCop, they just seem really dirty. And in this one, it's not much different. This time you have Michael Keaton. Of course, it seems that he's playing the head of this corporation.
Jack Frost.
Batman.
Beetlejuice.
Multiplicity.
In case you don't know who Michael Keaton is.
In case you don't know who the Keat is.
So, the idea of the corporation and them kind of controlling him, you know, turning him on and off. We'll let him use his brain when he's sitting at his desk with his partner. We'll turn it off when we need to. Because it says in the trailer, it says we give him the appearance of free will. So, that's a line in the trailer. So
it might be his AI.
Right. So I'm wondering if it actually does go deeper and they're just presenting him as maybe he's not all that human.
Well, maybe
and they've just given him the memories that he needs.
Be really good.
They've just given him the memories that he needs and then they break through. That actually is the concept behind Deathlok. The Marvel comic character, it's very similar to RoboCop, and I feel like they've taken a lot from Deathlok in this. If you read those first few issues that he appeared in back in the 70s, it's almost the exact same story of them sending him on a mission and then him just saying, "Nope, not gonna do it," and then he turns it around and starts looking for the corporation members. So
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, one of the articles, if that's how it is and they break it down like that, I'll be sold. I'll be happy.
If
it's smart enough.
If he's able to if he still has his brain. You know what I mean? Like I don't know.
It's different than
do we know
if he does?
One of the articles that I was reading,
I can't talk anymore.
One of the articles that I was reading was saying something along the lines of how he still has his humanity in social situations, which is why he still knows where's my wife? Where's my son? Why he still has that banter back and forth with his partner.
He knows not to pull his pants down in the middle of the mall.
Not to pull off his chassis in the middle of the mall, yes. But then when the corporation needs him to go on a mission is when they kind of like flip that switch and give him those directives. So it seems kind of like they turn it on and off, which again, all of this stuff I would be okay with if it weren't RoboCop. And granted, I do have more of an attachment to it, but I think one of the reasons why
Why do you so have more reasons. Of an attachment
Not
to it?
Not more of an attachment, just because
well, that's what you said, and I want you to explain yourself.
Because I have more of an attachment to the original one than I do an excitement about the new one. Like, some of you might have an attachment to it, but you're also really excited about the one that's coming out. For me, it's, I'd be excited if it weren't RoboCop.
Well, my excitement comes from, and I'm not trying to steamroll where you're going at all, but my excitement just comes from, let's see where they take this reimagining, like the Evil Dead and like Friday the 13th. I said, I really like the first ones. Let's see how somebody translates these now. And I even saw Nightmare on Elm Street, which was the worst. But I did enjoy Evil Dead a lot. And I really enjoyed Friday the 13th a lot because I got it, you know. But and I'm looking at this with the same kind of curiosity as – I can watch this now as an adult with just knowing, I know it's just going to be the skeletal structure of RoboCop. Now let's see what they dress this skeleton structure up with, and let's see how it moves and talks and things like that. And that's what I get excited about.
Right.
It's kind of like paper dolls.
And I'm definitely very curious about it. I'm definitely going to see it. And looking at the 87 trailer, it just looks like just 80s action, lots of people dying. But then
lots of people dying.
So many squibs.
Not even necessarily lots even of people, but just very, squibs. Very violent deaths.
Those are the best squibs.
But one of the things that in the original, again, trailer looked just very gritty, lots of deaths. But then actually watching the movie, it was...
And yes. A lot of people flying through windows. I don't know if you noticed, but there were so many like people just flying through windows.
A couple of them getting shot out of windows.
Just, oh my God, like you are going through a window if you're a bad guy.
But there was just a, for me, when I watch it, just a persistent struggle of just an individual against everything. So it was, you know, RoboCop, Detective Murphy, or Officer Murphy.
He had to take on Detroit, yo.
Well, first off, it was him against basically just the machine. So trying to figure out where is his humanity. He was also against the police department at one point.
Uh-huh.
He was also going up against evil corporations. He was also going up against the ills of society. And so pretty much everything through the entire movie was his struggle of one man against everything. So I'm really curious where this reimagining is going to go, because it doesn't show that in the trailers.
It almost feels the Shakespearean, to tell you the truth.
Right.
One man's struggle against all these different odds, and that's timeless in itself. What I find funny about the robots themselves is the robot that he is against. RoboCop does not defeat him at all. A flight of stairs defeats this robot.
He defeats him the second time with a giant, giant gun.
Yeah, but the first time he's like, oh my God, stairs! Which the robots of today still have the same problem. Oh God, stairs! Which is nice. One of the things that I read, somebody mentioned robots now can't defeat stairs. They're trying their best to have robots go up and down stairs, the robots that we've made. And RoboCop literally called Detroit's going to be a wasteland.
Yeah.
Right now, Detroit is a friggin' wasteland. And RoboCop was like,
sorry, Detroit.
We totally knew that it was going to be like
they're so good, we want to put a statue of RoboCop in the middle of Detroit.
I wonder if they think it's magic and it's going to come to life and just fix all the problems with bullets. So far, nothing has been fixing the problem in Detroit with bullets.
Well,
squibs maybe.
I do want to bring this up though.
Doctor Who
specifically? Okay. No, this time.
Jack Kirby.
This movie.
That's the other one.
So this particular movie, when you look at it, one thing Nathan brought up is the idea of the way the character moves.
Yeah.
Moves a lot differently. This is Nathan's thing. I'm not taking that, but my
don't take his thing.
No, my point on this is RoboCop, this modern RoboCop, is it a movie in the same vein as the original movie, or is it a superhero movie? And I say this from the point of view of, first of all, when I see the way he moves in the trailer, is he moves like a superhero.
No,
when
I'm gonna take it.
When he jumps,
we're not recording or anything.
when he jumps down and he moves and the movements he makes, it looks very superheroic.
Spider-Man,
those kinds of things, which is completely opposite of the way he would have moved in the original movie.
Here's a fact: Peter Weller worked for it's either months or weeks, like 6 or more weeks on movement alone before he even got in the suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he moves just like a robot.
Well, yeah. A robot from that time.
Yes. How come he always does like the ole hand when he shoots, though? Like, he's always like, ole!
Well, because clearly he needed the balance, otherwise he was going to fall over.
Oh, right.
Sure, I'm making that up.
But he does watch his hand.
I mean, he was self-ballasting himself.
But going back to the whole robot thing, I mean, that's also what people thought robots aspired to. Like, now robots can kind of do that. And so if you're talking about the pinnacle of what a robot should be, a robot would be able to simulate everything a human can do, but can do it better. Otherwise, there's no reason not to be you know, a human. So I think if they were to take the old sluggish robot, it's kind of like, I mean, you could run it over with a tank and it'd be done. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you can't run this thing over with a tank because it can outmaneuver anything the tank can do. So it's like, why have a superhuman robot if it can't really move like a superhuman thing? You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Well, and that's a great point. That's a really great point. I mean, RoboCop can go up and down stairs. Ashley, were you done before I went into my thing?
Sorry. Well, I mean, it's just, it goes further than that, though, with the superhero thing. The idea of this character, you know, being the savior of Detroit or whatever, to some extent, have they taken it in a way where it is superheroic? I mean, does he take on the characteristics of a superhero in this movie as opposed to maybe in the original movie?
Right.
Or maybe he did in the original movie, too. In terms of the way, but I guess my point here is RoboCop as superhero in the traditional way. So what do you think about that? Is he an anti-hero? Is he a superhero? How does the character
in the original one? I would definitely say he's an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
This more recent one, yeah, he does feel a little bit more like that superhero.
Well, for some reason, he's wearing Batman's outfit. I don't know why. But he looks like Batman.
Well, and also he changes. Of course, he has the classic silver, and then he's in the black.
And then like a hybrid of both.
And then a hybrid of both. But the interesting thing that I was thinking of, in order to do that, they actually have to take him apart and put new parts on him of a different color.
Well, if you're getting the crap beat out of you and you're a robot, that's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of spare parts in the first movie, too. And, I mean, he got ripped apart. Like, he got ripped apart a couple times. So
I'll buy that for $1.
Now throw up.
What's left of him? His head. That's all we need.
Just his face. Cut his face off and we'll stretch it over this robot.
Robot?
Where the soul lies.
Can I just bring something up? And I just want to get a little... this may be nothing, but what about the parts where he can twirl the gun like a gunslinger, but he still does that when he's... RoboCop.
That was for his son, because his son.
Right. But if he doesn't remember,
that's those early stages of him kind of showing
bringing their back stuff. And stuff.
Like that's how his partner first recognizes. Hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
Right.
Why is he doing that?
That's his Tyler Durden, so to speak.
No, but is the new one? Is he still going to have the open clothes?
That's a Fight Club reference, you
nerds. Leg holster?
I think I saw that.
Yes.
Just as a yeah, but it's faster. Oh. In the new one, it's faster.
It doesn't have to wait for the slow open. It doesn't have to wait for
like an elevator.
Because they could do it. They didn't have to do it mechanically. They did it with special.
Yeah, a guy didn't have to blow into a tube off screen to open it. Something, that's how I would have made it.
Something that I'm definitely looking forward to is the sound effects. The sound effects when RoboCop was walking in the original.
Amazing.
So horrible. No, when his foot hit the ground and it sounded like a drum machine hitting the bass drum. Just
Oh, well, how many robots have you been around?
I'm just saying.
It's a robot from the 80s. Yeah, he sounds like a Casio. No big deal. What was the big sponsor? What was the big sponsor in RoboCop?
Ford.
Was it Ford?
I think it was, yeah.
They had the Taurus.
Yeah, it was the Taurus. It was all over the place. That was something else.
A futuristic car.
That was something else that was brought up, was how much Ford Taurus was just pushed and pushed and pushed in the movie. And now they're actually, they stopped making them in the early 2000s?
I think so.
And now they're going to be bringing them back soon.
Oh, are they?
Man. No.
Are they going to be in this movie?
I don't know, but I hope so.
I always thought, like...
It's like, bring on the Ford Taurus!
RoboCop should be in a DeLorean. Not like a Back to the Future
DeLorean.
He should
turn into a DeLorean.
It looks like a RoboCop car.
It does,
I want to see RoboCop just... into a DeLorean, and Michael J. Fox just get in him.
Well, didn't that happen with the Camaro at Transformers, though? Because they had, like, ceased the Camaro, and then all of a sudden Bumblebee or whatever starts coming out in this new modern reimagined...
Well, Bumblebee wasn't even supposed to be a Camaro. But we won't get into that.
Oh, well, yeah.
He's a Volkswagen. Always will be.
Always will.
He will always be German.
That actually makes
but
sense.
But see, they
actually
had to change it because he was always like, Heil Hitler! And they were like, no!
I was just going to say, because every time he got into the car, 99 Luftballons kept flying.
They were like, cut it out! Cut it out! It was just bad news, and that's why, Ashley, if you were wondering, that's why it became a Camaro.
And it could also be the fact that Volkswagen just wouldn't let them use it.
And yeah, they wouldn't pay enough. Yeah,
it's one of those things. Lest we forget as well the awesome commercials they would play in RoboCop.
Oh, yes,
I love the commercials.
The commercials that would randomly play.
What was the one and they did for that game?
Yeah.
It was the spinoff
Nukem.
It was spinoff of Battleship starring Rihanna.
That was
but it was Nukem where you would nuke your friggin' family members. Another quality home game from Butler Brothers. Fantastic. Hey, Kevin, would you buy that for a dollar?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Which was hilarious. And that show was that weird pervy guy with the mustache and the glasses with, like, the busty girls, and he would always, like, get pies in his face or, like, pie them in the chest.
Sounds like Leisure Suit Larry.
A little bit.
It was like Leisure Suit Larry's pervy uncle. And he was like, guess what? One time I kissed my sister. Whee! I'd buy that for a dollar.
Well, and that's something that the director, Paul Verhoeven, that he used in a lot of his other movies.
He's like, an amazing, amazing, amazing director.
For most of his movies. Couple of that.
Which ones?
Fell short.
Which ones?
Showgirls kind of fell short.
Come on.
What?
In public perception,
you don't like
we'll
the pool
that.
Scene, the fish pool
oh,
scene.
Oh my god.
I'm saying in public perception.
Oh my god.
Anyways, he used those commercials a lot when he was doing Starship Troopers. Like, that's part of how he established that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just a style that
so
I really
much
buy.
Fun. You guys enjoy the commercials?
Enjoy the commercials.
Yeah.
There's something you said earlier that talking about these commercials reminded me of. They used the newscasters as kind of the way that they set the story, which when you mentioned earlier it being very Shakespearean as far as that tragedy.
Right.
You know, that's what Shakespeare used a lot as well. They used the...
So they were the narrators.
Yeah, they were the ones kind of coming out and saying what's going on between these scenes.
Really?
That's in the
cool.
very first scene, actually.
But how cool is that? I mean, there's so many layers and so much depth.
Right.
You know, I just wonder if the sexied up new version, God, Peter Weller, you're a god among men.
Well, speaking of these sexied up new versions, I mean, we've mentioned a lot that they've updated it for the current technologies. They've updated it because it's for this modern age, not for the 1980s.
There's drones all in it. Apparently.
Right. So, I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier the Google Glass. What about some of the other technologies that are actually current, that are actually present? So it's not just the Google Glass, but, you know, you got the drones. You have people that have bionic parts. Not you, Ashley. You have people that can control.
I am the only person at this table that is bionic.
You're the only person at this table that has a piece of metal in you.
You have metal in your leg. I almost forgot where it was.
But yeah, they have the technology where they hook those electrodes up to someone's head and they can control a robotic arm just with their thoughts. So what do y'all think about that, of the current technologies and how that's playing in?
Which they have now attached to nerve endings, the arms, to where you are able to squeeze and feel how hard or soft you are squeezing, which is amazing for amputees and things like that. So... I mean, this is something that just happened a few weeks ago. Well, it came to light. It's been happening for years and trying to perfect it. But now, I mean, the arm looks crazy. Like, it looks like a straight up, like, arm you would see, like, in the 80s, like, futuristic without the blockiness. But it's overly huge, but it has five fingers. There was a man literally grasping, like a lotion bottle or something, and he could feel how hard or soft he was squeezing it. I'm excited, man.
Well, on the other side,
to get my robot parts.
They've been talking for years now about like exosuits for like military and stuff like that. Like these,
they're called Hulk suits.
Yeah. So, and it's something that's like really close to happening.
HULC.
So it's kind of like Elysium in a way.
Yeah. Like it's just the idea of.
Drilling into your body. Spinal.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a suit that you put on, and it's just it augments your strength.
Aliens.
Those things.
Less bulky.
yeah, less bulky than that. But I mean, it's an actual thing.
Yeah, and they've. I also remember a while ago reading that they've been using that in space when they needed to do some repairs on the space station or the shuttle. And it was situations where it was too dangerous for the astronauts to go out, or it was something that was too delicate that they couldn't do in those big, bulky space gloves, where they would, you know, send the robot out there, but then still have the person inside, inside controlling the actions. Yeah. So yeah, they've already got a lot of that stuff in place.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
I can't wait till they utilize it for something completely stupid.
I'll be really interested.
It better come to video games first.
If the
no, that's. Oh, sorry, guys.
No, no, please.
It was just a one-off. That's the other Paul Verhoeven Total Recall movie. I want to, you know, can't wait to go to the clubs.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love it. Adam, please.
Sorry. Well, sorry. No, I just going back to the movie, I'd be really interested to see if they play off of drones and if this movie becomes like a almost RoboCop turns into some sort of political weapon. Because it's really, it seems like they're kind of setting up to where these robots have been all over, except that they can't come to America because America's afraid of what these robots are going to do. And so I'm really interested to see where they go with that, you know, because there's several things you could do, especially since they're talking about the drones, how the drones have evolved, how the drones are keeping people safe, but yet we can't have a drone in our own, you know, country unless we make them human.
Like, this company is Amazon.
They deliver small packages of death within 30 minutes.
If Amazon delivered RoboCop to my house, I'd be okay with that.
Unless they delivered him to have him kill you.
You know what? If that's the way that I went, I think I'd be okay with that.
Kind of cool. Kind of cool.
You're too, like on your tombstone, yeah, it just said, like, killed by RoboCop.
Killed by RoboCop. Bad. Bleep. Yes.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Now, a tombstone? That'd be a cheap tombstone.
That actually cardboard. Is something that I am kind of looking forward to. The director of this reimagining, he's done a lot of documentaries. I've not actually seen said documentaries, but in doing some of the research for it, most of his documentaries...
Is this a documentary? Well, I am worried.
That's the part that I might actually really enjoy about it, is how he handles some of, you know, like the drones in other countries, and how he handles some of the personal reaction to said robots. And if there's drones in other countries, there's probably lots of war going on. So how he handles humanity in that war. That part I'm actually pretty excited about to see what that turns out like.
It also seems like he's making a statement about Americans, saying that, well, they won't accept drones, so we'll make it look like a person, and then Americans will accept drones.
Because Americans are stupid.
As long as it looks like an American, that's all that matters.
And that's a point. The director is not from America. He's, I believe, Colombian.
Brazilian?
I think.
Brazilian.
Yeah. Brazilian. So, oh,
nice.
So it will be interesting to get that that take on the country, on our country.
Too bad he's not British, so we could have that wacky British humor in this RoboCop movie.
Would RoboCop be made out of aluminium?
And it would have really bad teeth?
No offense. No, totally.
British
take
listeners
a joke,
out there.
You Brits.
I think just by saying "you Brits" at the end of something is crossing some sort of line.
Sorry, Adam.
I know. It's all right. I'll reserve my British anger at you later.
Wait. Why is
Jade Baruchel? Because he's in the movie.
Jade Baruchel. Is it
Baruchel?
No, you don't say the EL because it's French.
It's Canadian, yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm not going to go see this movie now. I'm out. Peace. Wait, is he RoboCop?
That's the twist.
Oh, man. He went from undeclared to RoboCop.
Back on topic.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, and they've not been doing a ton of it, but there is some the marketing for this movie. Of course, there's trailers and things like that. But, of course, with any good movie, there has to be toys involved.
Yes.
And, of course, there is. Yes. There are some toys that are being released.
All four Tauruses.
I had one of the four Tauruses from the first one.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That's a really good point.
And now, that was the concept of the car before that concept of a car came out.
Those toys in the 90s, or 80s rather, and they continued on through the 90s. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who made them off the top of my head. But they
were terrible.
Oh, yeah, they were. They had...
they got RoboCop's movie down perfect. They didn't need too much at all.
They kept killing all my G.I. Joes.
But they did a couple things. And they made one of the toy lines that they had. They had caps. So you could put caps in them.
That's
and you
right.
would click them and they go... Psh, psh, psh. And,
those are the good ones.
Yeah, so, but there is a new line of toys. There's one that I've actually seen. It's just RoboCop on a motorcycle, which I think he was riding the motorcycle more than he's riding in the car in this one.
Uh-huh.
You've seen that in a couple scenes, but it's the black armored RoboCop and that. And then there's a larger RoboCop scale toy that I've seen that is really interesting. So if there's any collectors out there who are interested in RoboCop, then there are going to be some new things for you to collect. Cool. I want one.
I think it kind of looks cool.
It looks a lot.
I would play with it.
I know.
It looks cool.
I'd buy it for $1.
Yeah.
it looks a lot like the.
No, that one
Snake
actually
Eyes.
Is a radio control. I think.
Oh,
I would buy that.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like the Snake Eyes on his motorcycle, though.
Yeah. Look at the way he's positioned, though. That gives a whole new meaning to Crotch Rocket, if you know what I'm saying.
But if you see this other one that's over here, though, that's a 3 1/4 inch line.
Can you see it, audio listeners?
I was talking to
if you look at the screen.
So there are a couple different ones of the different armors and some things like that. But
do you think people will be collecting these?
No, I mean RoboCop's always been one of those weird things. The people that really love it will, but those kinds of toys typically don't go over well anymore. The ones for those kinds of movies.
Can't wait to buy them for the cheaps then at Kmart.
Well, I mean, even at Toys R Us to some extent, they may even be Toys R Us exclusive.
Wait, did you say cheap and Toys R Us in the same sentence?
If you wait long enough and they don't sell well,
then you can pull them out of the garbage.
You can find them all right. But
do you know if McFarlane ever made any RoboCop from the 80s?
Oh, there was a company, Movie Maniacs.
Yeah.
A few years ago. I think NECA made some, but maybe Jack Specific made some, and they were Toys R Us exclusives, I think. And they had like one that like glowed in the dark or something.
Amen.
I'm not been a big RoboCop guy, so I don't follow it.
You're 100% right. It was that awesome green glow.
It was that green glow, yeah.
That we love.
And that's not actually that old. That's just from a few years back.
No, too blue.
Yeah, that's like a pearly blue.
But in the 90s, they made a RoboCop that had his lips were digital, and you'd click a button, and it was like it would be like stop now, and it would be like, rah,
rah. Okay, I gotta tell you, I love that. I love that concept.
It was something that was dead or alive. You're coming with me.
Oh, this
maybe.
Is look at this.
It's got
the Arnold Terminator. It's got RoboCop and Predator.
So all the movies kids weren't allowed to watch when wow. they were.
Oh my gosh!
And those are clearly for adult collectors.
Those are
yes.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Those but the interesting looking. Thing is that some of the new ones aren't made for adult collectors necessarily. They're gearing them. Some of them. I've not seen them in stores yet. I mean, they're hitting. I just haven't had a chance to see them yet.
Well, kids really like to play Kill Cops. That was one of my favorite games growing
well, it's
up,
a whole
which was
other, it's a
take
whole,
my gun and kill some cops.
It's a whole level of, cops and robbers. I mean, it's a whole other level of that.
Well, so, yeah, I think he just pulled a blood and it looks like he's RoboCop in a wheelchair. So
I think that's
from RoboCop 3.
No, I think that's his just setup. When he's in his cell and he has to
hey,
get
listen
charged.
To me. Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
If Peter Weller is not donning the RoboCop gear, it's not RoboCop to me. Because Peter Weller is my man, my crazy man.
Right, now, are there any? What's the word?
Women?
No. cameos from anyone that was associated with the classic movies?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm pretty sure Will Smith shows up or something, and I'm sure Jonah Hill's in there somewhere. So. Jonah Hill is RoboCop.
Well, Jay Baruchel's in it. I was going to say Seth Rogen somewhere pops in.
So, yeah, Seth Rogen.
Judd Apatow like, film actually.
He's just like, I need my money. I just need my money.
We're great at staying on topic.
In the realm.
You're the ref, bro. You're the ref. Where are we at? Where did this rabbit trail lead us?
Because I was just talking about marketing. Where, it's relevant.
Sorry, I got right? the toys.
It is very, very relevant because I want to know if like what product placement is going to be heavy in this one.
Wasn't
because
there...
snakes on a plane, it was Ripple.
And snakes.
Well, we're literally in a room with just boxes and boxes of Red Bull. It was awesome. But back to RoboCop.
And then you left the movie and you're like, I really want some energy right now.
Oh, I've been addicted to energy drinks ever since Snakes on a Plane. And Kenan Thompson movies for some reason. I don't know. Did you guys check out Wieners? That was a great movie. He did a movie called Wieners, which was about hot dogs. And he did Good Bird, which was about hamburgers.
And he did one about Fat Albert?
Yeah, and he needs to do one about like a falafel stand. But enough about Keaton Thompson. More about RoboCop.
Maybe he's RoboCop.
Keaton Thompson is RoboCop.
The falafeler.
I hear if you go to some massage parlors and you ask for that. All right.
And the Mario music? Like, what is I don't know why you made that connection with massage parlors and Mario, but that's best left not talked about in this podcast, I think.
You keep my romantic life out of this. Nathan, where are we? Red shirt over here is completely lost.
We are so far off topic.
I took off my shirt, flipped off the lights, and just started running.
There's black lights going on. Well, something that you were just talking about that I know we're going to bring up in later podcasts is, you know, as far as the marketing and what kids are actually going to buy these toys. You know, I feel like most of the toys that are being put out now are more for the adult collector. There are people who grew up on RoboCop. It's like, oh, yeah, the new RoboCop toy's out. But I don't actually want it.
I feel like they should have more like Legos. I feel like that's really in with kids now. So have a Lego
RoboCop Lego.
RoboCop but the thing is, collection.
You could build your own RoboCop. I would buy that.
Do we need
for
kids?
A dollar?
For more than a dollar.
Stop do we need it. Like $5. Do we need products for kids to see to buy for this movie? I mean,
do we need kids to see this movie?
We are well, getting into some heavy waters, guys. Oh. Are we sure we want to talk about morals and ethics?
Actually, that is one of the topics on our.
Related to the movie, not related to real life.
But this can serve as a segue of the original movie. It was a very hard R. Like, there's no way it could ever have been a PG-13 and still been the movie that was like, oh, holy crap, that's good.
Well, it was loaded with satire, which was like the Nuke game, which was targeted to kids and families. So now it's like real world. We're asking about the new movie. Should it be targeted, even though it was used as satire in the original movie? Oh, my God, my head is spinning.
And in this recent one, it's PG-13. So they're clearly going for that more family-oriented audience. They're going for the, here, let's get the teenagers that want it to see.
Yeah, I think teenagers, high schoolers that
I'm not
going
to take my family.
When I say family, I don't mean here, take the wife and four-year-old to go see RoboCop.
On Valentine's Day.
I was thinking about this, though. There's a lot of the movies that are...
I have my plans. Get some RoboCondoms.
So the
good marketing right there.
A lot of the movies that are coming out now, they're not as gritty as the movies were in the 80s. There are some. I mean, you've got Judge Dredd, you've got the Conan movie that came out a few years
those
ago.
Those are rated R.
Right. Those are hard R movies.
You've got the Tarantino movie.
You got the Tarantino movie.
Tarantino does, yeah.
But this movie, it is interesting that they took a movie that is traditionally a hard R movie and kind of, I'll say, dumbed it down. I don't know if that's the right word, but it is going to be a different audience is going to watch it than the audience that would have been able to watch it when it came out in the 80s. It's a completely different theater-going audience that's going to go see this.
Right. Well, and I think that when you said, you know, not really dumbed it down, but very, very much changing the audience that's going to go see it, with having it in our movie, the only people who saw the original, well, that should have seen it, were adults. And so you were able, not you personally, but they were able to do a lot more of the satire. They were able to do a lot more of the social commentary because the audience that was going to go see it, hopefully, was able to recognize some of that and to actually think through what was happening. Whereas now it's just, yay, action movie, hooray, fighting motorcycles. And so I wonder if they're still going to put as much of that satire and commentary and thought-provoking, still action, still gritty action, but as much of that thought-provoking content in it.
Like, is it going to be
for teenagers?
Right.
Like, so on the nose, like the first one.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to really, like, think about it now?
Like, are they directly going to say, I'm struggling with my humanity and being part robot?
I think it's going to be very obvious what the themes are. Just based on the trailer. I mean, I feel like the trailer very much tells you the themes.
Unless it's a bait and switch.
Could be.
Which and happens actually, a lot.
Yeah, I actually would not be surprised if that came out as the case.
Like the new Transformers movie? No robot. No dinosaurs. No Dinobots.
What?
You think it's going to be all Dinobots? None.
bait and switch.
But he's riding a Dinobot.
The new Ninja Turtle movies, no turtles in it.
No,
at all.
Just all splinters.
Not teenage, not mutant.
Not even turtles. It's just going to be
all girls now, too. It's all girls.
Now, if
it's not only all girls, it's
all girl splinters.
It's oh, what's her face?
Wait, is it really
all girls? It's all Megan Fox.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of Megan Foxes.
It's April O'Neil.
Okay, are you guys being serious? Because this sounds terrible.
No.
My world is crushing in front of my eyes.
There is a new Ninja Turtles movie, yeah, but it's not. No, I'm making.
We'll have to talk about that later because I'm getting excited for it.
Yeah. Okay, RoboCop.
Which I'm only curious about. Excitement curious.
Sure.
Robo-curious.
Which is interesting that Samuel Jackson says, why is America so robophobic? Like,
so he says robophobic.
He says robophobic.
I want to punch this movie. But I want to hug it too.
So that's
just
a question.
Just run up to the projection, just punch it.
I actually have a question about that. What?
Robophobic.
Do you know what Samuel L. Jackson's character is?
I wonder.
He's the bait and switch. He's the one that's not in it.
He is RoboCop.
No. He's the guy that just cusses a lot.
I got the impression that he was maybe the president or something.
I think he's like the company spokesman. I think he's like the pitch man.
Or that. I couldn't really decide what he was.
Oh, I think his name is Detroit, and RoboCop is trying to protect him.
And RoboCop is in him?
This is Detroit.
We need to get these mother effing robots into mother effing America. That's what I think he's going to say at some
point. He's the I'd buy that for a dollar guy now.
Is he really?
No. But he is a television presenter that kind of, I guess, helps maybe push the story forward.
I was really hoping the Entertainment Tonight people were going to be in this.
Oh, so they've made it like the Hunger Games.
They're like, instead of the people from the 80s, I can't even think of their names. It's like a Sugar Ray, TMZ, and John Tej or whatever.
Right, because she's still current. Something else that I'm curious about.
On the radio.
Yeah.
I'm curious how long in the movie is it going to take before they actually show RoboCop? Because the trailers make it look like there's a lot of character development of showing him and his wife and his kid and trying to develop that a lot before he actually turns into RoboCop.
I mean, if we assume the movie is somewhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours, I would say no more than 20 minutes. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah,
we need to see RoboCop by 20 minutes.
If I don't see some blood like in the first 10, come on. This is not what I paid for, yo. I don't want to hear people talking. I want to see people shooting. Who's with me?
But it's PG-13. You won't see blood. You'll see shooting.
Lots of shooting and lots of misses.
Man, well, there'll be lots of robot fighting.
There's going to be a lot of robots. If I can watch Sharknado and get tons of blood, I better be getting some blood out of a new RoboCop.
I don't even want to know what that is.
Sharknado?
Oh, yes. Adam, it's
a tornado of sharks.
Change your world. It's so good, Adam. It's so good.
Different topic.
So good. Oh, man. So good. Wow. We will hit it later because that is completely sci-fi.
All right.
More fi.
More fi?
Way more fi. Which is next podcast, by the way.
Yes. The science versus the fiction. Ah, jeez.
Where are we?
So, I think we're
how are we looking on time?
The end of it.
Jay Baruchel is in that too. Baruchel. Okay, anyway, never mind. Continue.
Right. So, we've covered pretty much everything we're planning on talking about tonight. Who's actually planning on going to go see it? I know I'm planning on it.
I'm thinking about it. I mean, we've already done the podcast, so like, I don't feel obligated anymore. Like, I'm like, I can literally go to Redbox and get it for a dollar. Yes. You know what I mean? So
now that would be some good satire.
I want to see it. I don't know that I'm going to see it in theaters, so though. Like, it's not something that I have to see this movie. You know, like, I think it'll be entertaining. I think it'll look visually great, but I just don't know if it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be worth my time and, like, my one, like, movie voucher I get every so many months. And I'm like, I can go. I have time, you know.
Yeah, and I bought the Blu-ray, and it came, like, with the movie cache.
Of the classic.
Yeah. Of the classic. I bought the Blu-ray of the classic, and it came with basically
the movie cache. You didn't go into the future and get the Blu-ray of the new one.
Or maybe I did.
Different podcast, guys.
So it's, I'm going to go see it because, hey, it's already free. Why not? But Kevin, what about you? Do you plan on seeing it?
Possibly, because I don't want to go see About Last Night.
Unless, so yes, unless in About Last Night they're actually robots,
then it would change the dynamic. Yes. No, I would go see it if push came to shove. But again, yeah, I could wait to I could catch it on the Redbox or the Netflix at some point. Yeah,
I would say it's going to be one that will be on Netflix for sure. And I'll probably catch it that way. I might go see it. I'm intrigued. I'm actually almost more interested in it than I felt like I would be.
Right.
I think in going through and watching all the trailers and stuff, I'm actually kind of excited about this.
Well, whenever we break it down and we actually analyze it, instead of it just being a stupid, sexy-looking beat-em-up with great sound effects and awesome CGI, we actually start thinking about the themes, and it's like, oh, maybe there's a little bit more meat to it. If I watch it for that reason, instead of, these guys are shooting these guys, and I can barely see what's going on, then maybe it might be worth the darn.
Yeah, the dollar.
Well, and that this is actually the part that concerns me specifically about this movie is, you know, we've spent the past hour talking about it, and you know, we're all really excited about the original. We're all like, yes, RoboCop, awesome. But then when it's actually, are we going to go see it? I'm seeing it because it's free. Maybe because we're curious. We'll wait till it's Redbox or Netflix. And so there's nothing really about it that is drawing any of us to the, yes, we have to go see this movie.
I think if it gets huge word of mouth, like, it would have to be, like, Home Alone status for me to, like, go. They're like, it's been at the theater for 23 weeks. Then,
well, and also,
I would really be super curious to go.
We talked about this at the beginning, but the idea that it's coming out on a Wednesday. It's a movie that comes out in February. They typically
around
don't put
Valentine's
out,
Day.
They
Valentine's
don't put Day. Blockbusters out on in February. So I'm curious if, and this is just an assumption, but if the studio doesn't have as much faith in it. I mean, if it,
even are, though they have a lot of big name actors in it,
are you afraid it might be a Robo flop?
Dave Coulier.
I kind of did that pause, didn't I? Yeah, I did. Robo. No, I can't do it.
No,
sorry.
But yeah. So I mean, that's the part that kind of concerns me. Not just for this movie, but for sci-fi movies in general. Of, you know, are they still pulling in the same audiences that they have in the past? Are they still catching the, oh man, I have to go see this? But that's for a much later podcast. So, for tonight, I'm Nathan.
I'm Adam.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Redshirt Lucas.
I'm Kevin.
And you've been listening to Sci-Fiers.
And we'd buy that for a dollar.
We'll see you soon.